broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You gotta be real still, okay?
No, we're not going to have babies. We're not going to have sex.
January 12 at 1:56.
We get Alexis' eyebrows waxed, number one, because she has a little unibrow.
Who's going to hell, this bitch?
That's hatred, man.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows would not dare go. Sometimes it hurts, but we got to go there. 877-876-7445 is the number. 877-876-7445. I want to be talking here with Vernon Dozier in just a moment about the baby boomers and what they're looking at. You know, we're hearing all about the Social Security this and retirement that. And Mr. Dozier is a high school teacher at Belmar Academy. He is a member of the board there. He's a high school football coach. He's a boomer, and he's going to talk to us about how he's dealing with the eventual retirement thing here in just a moment. 877-876-7445. PhilHendryShow.com is our website where you can go and get live streaming video of the show right now as we speak, as well as live streaming audio on our video feed. You can hear the archives, and we've got thousands of hours of those. We've got podcasts every day of the show, and the video cast, probably the best part of everything, is available to you right now. And if you ever want to see, some nights Phil Hendry is that, you know, just the color of my face alone is probably worth it. So PhilHendryShow.com for all of your video cast needs. And Mr. Vernon Dozier joining us from Glendale, California. Mr. Dozier, how are you?
Yes, I'm very good, thank you.
You know, when we talk, you're a high school teacher. How many years away are you from retirement?
I'm 12 years.
12 years away, so you're 53?
53, that's correct.
And when we talk about the baby boomers, and you did a piece in one of the blogs that the National Teachers Association has on growing older and what you're doing to prepare for it. You had a very interesting point of view. What was that?
Well, my point of view is simply this, that I am not going right now, and I don't think anybody should. I'm not going to adhere to or listen to. I'm not going to be stampeded by the different companies and different agencies and these different groups of people who want us to get ready to retire. I mean, I'm looking or to get sick. Every day I'm looking on a TV at a television ad for a Hoveround, if you've seen this commercial.
And right, I've seen that, and we're not knocking the product, right?
No, I'm not knocking the product, but I am saying that I'm not. I think it is a. I think they line up and they try to beat you into submission with these products like Hoveround, or they try to beat you into submission with the medical insurance that you need, or the AARP this, or a walk-in bathtub. And then you have living wills, you've got living trusts, you've got estate planning, and all of this, you're told as a baby boomer, as somebody approaching retirement, all of this stuff you better get prepared to do because that's what you're supposed to do. Well, I said to the in the blog that I wrote, and I've talked to different groups of parents, as well as other people who are teachers, other professionals. I said I'm not doing any of that. I'm not estate planning. I'm not getting my will ready. I'm sure as hell not going to buy a Hoveround, even though I don't need one.
Well, that's something that you would only buy if you needed it, right?
That's correct. But I'm not looking into AARP or discounts or anything like this, because what that does is it feeds a mindset, and it feeds the mindset of age. And when you start to do all these things, planning for these retirements and so forth, you begin to get old. Now, that's one part of it. But the bigger part, I think, is your relatives, your kids, the family members around you. When you start preparing your will, or you start preparing your estate, or any of that, you are, I don't think you're doing anybody any favors. What you're doing is you're making your family, you give them incentive to become overly interested in your personal effects. And I would rather just not do any estate planning, not do any will, not do anything, and let those people fend for themselves. Now, here's what I mean, Phil.
Well, hold on for a minute. I just want to ask you, are you saying you're not doing any estate planning, or you're not letting them know whether you're doing estate planning?
I'm not doing any estate planning.
Are you not preparing a will?
I'm not preparing a will at all, no.
Do you not plan on preparing a will?
I will plan a will when I'm ready to die. I'm going to get every second, every minute out of this life, and I'm not going to prepare any will. I'm not going to prepare any estate. I'm not going to put anything down in any document as to where things go until I've lived every single solitary second of my life. And that's what I said in the blog, and I've had a lot of mail from people, a lot of emails from people telling me that they used to sit down with their lawyer and they had all of this planned out.
Now, there's going to be a lot of people that don't think it's responsible of you.
Well, what's irresponsible of it?
That you have all of these effects. You have you have all of your stuff.
Yeah.
And you're not leaving it to anybody.
I'll leave it to people when I'm ready to leave it to people. But I'm not going to sit down and do estate planning. And as a matter of fact, I'd rather die and have all of my effects go to the state of California than sit down and plan my will because someone tells me I should. I'm a baby boomer, and that means I come from a generation of people that think a little bit differently. Now, I'm not going to hang my hat on that, but I'm not going to put down on the paper anything until I'm ready to do it, and I may never be ready to do it. I'm giving that advice to everybody that I know who is getting ready to retire.
Well, I'm not exactly sure. You're saying don't prepare a will.
No, don't do any of it.
Don't prepare a will. Don't no estate. Nothing.
Nothing.
What if you're married?
What if you're married? Your wife should understand that if you die, it's all going to the state. She should be ready for.
Whoa! Wait a minute. See, that's. I don't know. I mean, it's one thing, and I can almost agree with you. It's one thing if I don't leave it to my kids or my grandkids. That's probably not a very nice thing to do. But my wife, don't you want to make sure that she's taken care of?
I love my wife very much, and I've been married twice. And I love my first wife, I love my second wife, but I don't love them so much that I'm going to rob myself of life planning on dying. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
If you're making out a will, if you're making out a trust, if you're making out an estate, you're planning on death. I'm not going to plan on death. I'm planning on life. And if that means I die and everything goes to the state of California or my wife doesn't get a thing, then she knows what the game is.
Does she have any chance at getting any of this stuff?
There's a slight chance, and it's a window of opportunity. When I am done living, and I've decided that I'll be dying any day now, that's when I'll do my documents, that's when I'll do my will.
And when is that?
I don't know.
You just know that a day will come that you'll decide you're going to die.
That's exactly right. Now, I'm telling you.
And you're going to do your will?
I'll do my will then, yes. But until then, I'm not doing anything. And if I die before that, then they're going to have to take all of the things that I own and turn them over to the state of California.
And you're all right with that?
I'm totally all right with that. And here's why. I don't want to be robbed of life. Too many of us are robbed of life worrying about our will. You have relatives that are hanging around you, and they take on the countenance of almost this, you know, the stereotype, they take on the countenance of a buzzard almost, hanging around waiting for you to die. And I've told my kids and I've told my wife, I said, you might as well give it up. You're not going to be hanging over my bed waiting for me to die because I haven't made out a will. I don't have a trust. I don't have any estate planning. And you better hope and pray that I've squeezed all the life I wanted to squeeze out of this life. Then and only then will I make out my will.
Are you recommending this for every retiring person?
I am. Yes, I am, Phil.
How does someone know that they've squeezed all there is to squeeze out of life?
When you've done everything you wanted to do, when you feel that you have, and I think it's almost like I can't put it to you in the way that I want to put it, but it's almost as if you spent a whole week, excuse me for saying this, you spent a whole week in a cat house, if you will. You have had every woman in it. At the end of the week, you pretty much know that you're done.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm talking about.
So we'll just know that we're done with life, and that's when we plan our will?
That's when you plan your will. That's when you plan your estate. And that's when you put those papers with your attorney or whoever. But before that, you don't. And that keeps your family from hanging around, rubbing their hands together like buzzards, waiting to get your money. It also keeps your wife from doing that. And as much as I love my wife, I'm a good deal older than her, so I'm not under any illusion. She's waiting for me to die. I don't think she wants me to. But I think she also knows that once I do die, she stands to inherit a great deal of money. Well, no, she doesn't, because I'm not putting that down into a will or anything until I'm ready to go. And I feel comfortable with that, Phil.
How does a family react to that? Have you had reaction from your kids?
I have.
What have they said?
Well, they look at you like you are selfish. They look at you like you're doing the wrong thing. They look at you, and I gathered them around, and I said, don't give me that, because you know that you're hanging around waiting to get your hands on what I've got. I said, and you ain't going to get your hands on it until I've, as I said to them, until I've squeezed every last nanosecond out of this life. And then we'll sit down and talk about it. And you better hope I got enough life left in me to get everything done. Otherwise, I'm going to die, and it'll just all be undone. It'll just be something for the state of California to work out.
Why?
Why what?
Why are you doing this? Why would you... why would you not plan properly for the disbursement of your retirement, your estate, your will? Why would you wait until the very last second, until you've absolutely squeezed every second out of life, and then do it?
Because I believe, Phil, that relatives and your loved ones are people that not only lift you up, but at a certain point they begin to drag you down. I think your wife, your kids, their love carries you along, but it only carries you along to a certain point, and then there begins a process of degrading. It isn't because they don't love you, but they become almost like anchors, and they start dragging you down deeper and deeper and deeper. It's almost as if they're digging the hole, and they're going to kick your body into it. And so by estate planning and coming up with a will, you're helping them bury you. You're digging the hole, and you're hastening the day that once you get the will done and the estate done, they'll kick your body and roll it into the hole. I won't let them do it. I'm going to keep that day as far away from me as I can, so that as their love has begun to degrade and is beginning to turn into greed, and they're hanging around not so much to try to get me something to drink or maybe the channel changer or something to read, but they're hanging around waiting for me to just all of a sudden go out. I'm telling them it ain't going to do you any good.
Well, so this is about relatives.
Oh, yeah. Totally about relatives.
It's about your relatives who are waiting around for you to die to get your stuff, and you don't want them to have it.
I don't want them to have it until I want them to have it. Do you understand? And that's why I think it's good for anybody listening to you right now, listening to me right now, fellow, or my age. You don't want people to have what you've got until you're ready to give it to them. And if they're hanging around rubbing their hands together and you see kind of a hunchback, because you get that kind of hunched back almost like a buzzard, and the neck, you know what I mean?
No, I don't. But the picture you're painting...
I'm telling you that that's what they look like.
The picture you're painting is of a greedy... is of a family that is trying to get a loved one to die, and I don't know that that's always the case, you know?
Well, believe me when I tell you, there comes a time when every relative wants the old man or the old lady to just go ahead and stop breathing so they can set about the business of dividing up what's out in the living room, which is what that's where they put it anyway. While you're dying, they've dragged all of your personal effects into the living room, and they're already picking through it.
All right, our number, I'm going to hold on for just a second, Vernon. We're going to take a break here. Our number is 877-876-7445, estate planning. Don't write a will. Don't do a living estate. Don't do anything with your stuff while you're alive, because that just encourages your loved ones to wait for you to croak. Even if you, I don't know. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
to our show, Vernon Dozier, who is a high school educator, a member of the board at Belmar Academy, a high school varsity football coach, and approaching retirement like so many people. Talking about a blog that he did for a teacher's website, the NEA website, in which he wrote that he is not going to be writing a will. He's not going to be estate planning. He's not going to be doing anything with his assets in terms of the disbursement of those assets after he dies until he is ready to die. Now, you said something. I want to get to some phone calls, but you said that there comes a point where the love of a family begins to degrade into avarice or greed.
That is correct, yes.
Is there a date? I mean, not a date. Is there an age?
Well, Phil, I can tell you that as a father, and I've got children and grandchildren, that they love me, love me, love me. There comes a point around your 65th, your 70th birthday, where the love begins to slide downhill. And now it's no longer love. It's what I call they're waiting on you. They are getting you everything you need, and they want you to be comfortable. Yes, they want you to be comfortable. Because it's less of a mess when you eventually die.
And oh, no. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is I'm not saying anything. They're not going to have to find you anywhere. They know where you are. And once you die, now comes a time when your personal effects, your estate, is not divided up. Now, I'm saying to everyone listening who is of my age, don't do it. Don't do it. You tell them that you'll get around to estate planning and writing your will when you're good and ready, and not a second before that. And in the meantime, you may take a trip to Italy. You may get yourself a girlfriend. You may drive a sports car at 150 miles an hour. You may drive, you may go, you may take up skydiving. And let me tell you something, because I've seen this happen. You're going to see a lot of family members come riding out there to the airfield in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning trying to talk you out of jumping out of an airplane. Do you think they care about you dying? They care about you dying because you ain't written your will yet. I saw that happen to a gentleman by the name of Jerry Sompen, who went out, he wanted to take up skydiving. Well, he had about 15 members of his family out there sweating buckets.
Why? Because he hadn't written a will?
Because he hadn't written a will.
Not because they loved him, or...
No, are you kidding? Are you kidding? I got to let a lot of people know out there, a lot of elderly people. Yes, your family loves you, but they don't love you that much. They're waiting for you to go so they can divide that stuff up. Now, if you haven't divided it up yet, they don't want you to go. They don't want to see anything happen to you. And here's Jerry having the time of his life, jumping out of an airplane. He's got 20 members of his family sitting out there on this airstrip, and I am telling you, as God is my witness, they were sweating buckets, thinking that that this guy was going to hit the ground, and the only thing they'd find would be a pair of shoes, a helmet. You know, whatever you want to call it, disintegrate or something.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, talking here with Vernon Dozier about retirement and estate planning. Here's Michael in Jackson, Mississippi. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you. Now, Vernon, it sounds to me like maybe you don't love your family enough to let them enjoy the things that you've worked for. Why in the world would you want the state of California to misuse the things that you've earned your whole life?
Well, I would tell you this, Michael. I would rather the state of California have it than my son or my daughter, who are standing there rubbing their hands together like something out of a Oliver Twist, waiting for me to strangle on my own spit. See? So, you know what I'm saying? So, in other words, do you want your kids hanging over your deathbed waiting to see that respirator go down to zero? No. You don't.
Well, the gentleman's question's a good one. You love your kids, right?
Of course I love my kids.
Well, it sounds like you would rather your money go to the cold hands of the state of California's central fund.
No, that's not the case, Phil. But I would rather it go to California than try to enjoy my life while my family's standing over me waiting for me to die. That's the point that I'm making.
Why not set it up then to some charity that your kids have nothing to do with?
I don't care what charity.
It sounds to me like the only person you care about is yourself.
I love myself.
Your kids and your wife.
I want to have fun.
All right, 877-876-7445. Back with Vernon Dozier tomorrow on the Phil Henry Show.
I got to have kicks. I got to have kicks.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Tell me that story, because my audience will find that interesting. We're talking here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy on when to make out your living will or your will or your trust or your estate planning. And he said that far too many of the baby boomers are making it out way too early, and it only causes the family to suddenly become almost ghoulish. You know, Vernon?
It really is, Phil. I wouldn't want to use that word, but I think it's accurate. They do become very ghoulish. They hang over you like almost as if they're a buzzard or something in a tree.
Tell the story very quickly, and I want to go to some phone calls about this pilot you were talking about.
Well, this is a very famous story. Jim Jacoby was an Air Force pilot, and in his retirement, he decided to take up a jet. At the time, it was an F-15, and his family came out to the airfield with him. It turned out that he was in a very, very vicious storm, and he had to bail out when there was a malfunction. Now, he was in the air because he bailed out at a very high altitude for some 45 minutes. The family had been alerted to the fact that the jet had crashed. And all of a sudden, a family that was petrified that he would die was faced with the reality that he was what they thought was dead. And he wasn't. He bailed out. But they found out, because the attorney showed up at the airfield, that he had made out the will, and he had done his living estate. So all of a sudden, all these people that were sweating bullets that he was going to die, they all got into their cars and were gone from the airfield by the time he came down in his chute. Some 45 minutes later, walked out to the airfield to see where they were. All he saw were tire tracks. They're at the attorney's office dividing up this man's estate, and he's walking around alive.
Good God Almighty.
That's right. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
So they, when the jet crashed, and then they find out that the guy, his estate's all done.
Yeah, they're over there already trying to probate this thing. I mean, it's hit the hair on some people. That's why I told myself, no way, no way, no way. You know what? If that was me and that jet crashed, I'd want them in tears. Because they'd say, oh, my God, he didn't do his will. Then I'd come walking up with the chute wrapped up under my arm, and I'd go, somebody got a problem? And they'd want, boy, they'd be kissing me up one side and down the next. And I'd say to them, I'm still not making out my will.
Unreal. All right, our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Gene in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, Gene. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Hi.
Hi, you doing?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm kind of flabbergasted right now. I just cannot believe there's actually someone who's a teacher who is saying these things. I can't believe that. That's why I took my kids out of school. I'm 51, okay? I've got six kids. They're all terrific people, and I absolutely want them at my bedside when I die. And I hope when I die they are all there so I can tell them goodbye. And I don't think they care if I have $1 million or a dime. And this
well,
guy
like
here,
to think that.
He needs
we
a
like
different
to think
family.
That.
You know, he needs.
But ma'am,
he
you don't
picked
know.
The wrong You're, family. You picked the wrong
kids.
Family. And you being a school teacher.
How can you pick the wrong family? I mean, the family that I have is the family
creep.
I have. How can
that
I pick the wrong family,
creep.
Ma'am?
If
Why?
You if you because think your kids are just going to stand around and wring their
well, what,
hands.
What?
Hoping for you to die, what is wrong with you?
Ma'am, what do you think
you
your kids are going to do? You got some. You have some fantasy that your kids are going to be there. Oh, boo-hoo.
You
of course
be,
your kids love you.
Let me tell you
Of course your kids
right?
love you.
I
when
know
you die, your kids will make a beeline.
Do.
Yeah, when you die, your family's going to beeline to the safety deposit box as sure as God made green apples.
You know what? I
so,
don't care if they do because you know what? I'm going to be gone. I don't care if they do. I hope that I make a million.
Don't you
I want to make,
enjoy all of your life?
You know what
don't
I want?
You want to enjoy
I hope
all
I
of your
make
life?
$6 million in my lifetime so that when I die, I can leave them a million apiece. You know what? That means they don't have to work like I did all my life. Every
and you don't want to use any, and you don't want to enjoy that money.
Excuse me.
You don't want to enjoy that money. You don't want to go out on a cruise and meet some young man. Yes, I said young man. You heard me.
I've been married 33 years. I am perfectly happy with the man I have.
And have the time of your life. And have the time of your life.
I'm already having the time of my life.
Yeah.
I'm already having the time of my life.
Well, hold on.
I've got beautiful kids.
I want to ask you. If you
they have beautiful spouses. I have terrific grandkids. I'm the happiest.
Hear me.
As a dead hog in sunshine.
Well, what?
And I don't care if I make $1 million. It don't matter.
You're as happy as a dead hog in the sunshine.
I'm just as tickle pink as I can be.
Wait.
I think you're lying to me, and I'll tell you why. For you to admit that you don't want $6 million, well, you'd sound like a crazy woman. So naturally, you want to say you won't leave with your kids.
I don't want $6 million.
$6 million in your hands would be far better than $6 million. In the ghoulish claws of your kids.
But wait, this lady wants to leave money to her family. So why, what makes, if, and then we'll move on to another call, but what makes this woman in your mind, Vernon, if she wants to leave the money to her family, what's wrong with leaving the money to her family?
Because she's robbing herself of life. If she's got $6 million, and she don't want to go out and spend that money herself, she wants to leave it to some ghoulish bloodsuckers.
Whoa. What do you mean ghoulish bloodsuckers?
Well, that's what your kids are. At the day that they're standing around like the bloodsuckers they are. Forget it.
No, man. It again. Well, listen, Gene.
Gene says to me that she has the ability to earn $6 million. If she had the ability to earn $6 million, why doesn't she enjoy that $6 million herself instead of turning it over to the bloodsuckers?
I'm not telling you that I'm going to turn it over to my children as bloodsuckers, okay? What I'm telling you is this. There's no way I could spend $6 million in my lifetime. Okay?
You know,
so every good parent...
Oh, God.
Would you let me speak, Vernon? You've had to say.
You know who Kim Cattrall is,
every good parent...
She has young men.
Wow. Let the lady finish.
I'm telling you.
Buddy.
You
I'm glad you're in California.
You know what, ma'am? I know how to live.
That state deserves you.
$6 million.
All right, the lady wants to leave it to her kids. Listen, Gene, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-7445.
You almost called her Kim. I thought that was funny.
Why?
Because I said Kim Cattrall. You see, a woman that age, after she's sweated and bled for these kids, now they're standing over her bed like they're a bunch of crones out of some Dickens novel. And they're wringing their hands like bloodsuckers.
All right, well, you know, you're talking about somebody's family, Vernon. If that's the way your family is, I think you have every right to talk about them, and not necessarily about that woman. Jim in Sweetwater, Texas, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Well, Phil, it sounds to me like he's doing exactly that, describing his family, because he certainly doesn't know what love in a family is. And
of course
I do. If he doesn't care about providing for his wife when he passes on, then... He's not even a man in my book. That's all I have to say. Have a good evening.
I do care.
You're an idiot.
Anyway, you're throwing your little hand grenade and running away. What a chicken.
877, well, do you want to respond anyway?
Well, I will respond this way and say he didn't want to talk to me because he knew that what I was saying is making sense. Same thing with that lady didn't want to talk. She was talking over me because what I'm saying to these people, they know is true. Go out and enjoy your life. Don't make up a will. Don't make up an estate. Don't do nothing until you've squeezed every last penny, every last drop of joy out of this life. And then you can say to your family, all right, is everybody ready? All right, bloodsuckers, line up to the left.
And what's with the bloodsucker thing?
Your family knows it's true. I'll say, all right, I've had all I want of this world, and frankly, I've had all I want of you. So what we're going to do now is line you all up, and here's what you get. And that's how I do it.
Yeah. Do you blame people for thinking you don't love your family?
Yes, I do. They don't know what love is. Love is letting somebody be who they are. My family is going to jump for joy when they see me get out into a race car and do 200 miles an hour down the backstretch at Daytona, because that's what I've always wanted to do. I don't know if you know that or not, Phil. I'm a teacher. And I'm a history teacher and a football, but I've always wanted to get into one of those NASCAR stock cars, and I want to do 200 miles an hour down the backstretch. And if it gets airborne, like Fireball Roberts did that time, and if I get air and I sail up off the track, and behind the track. So you the car disappears, and then all you see is a ball of fire. And then,
all right, I understand. God Almighty, you want to see your family? Your family witnessed that?
I want if that's what happens, my family will be happy for me, even as the money goes to the Treasury of the State of California.
That's a waste, man.
Okay, man.
No, you know, it's a waste. You got your kicks, you got your jollies. What do you mean you get air and then you become a fireball? God, here is Terry in Tucson. Terry, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, he got airborne in Daytona. You know, I'd like to see him get out of that car with his hair on fire. Because, you know, it's obviously nobody in his family loves him at all.
Are your teeth in? Just a question, are your teeth in? Because I can't do it tonight. I can't do it tonight. Are your teeth in, sir? Terry?
Yes, what's that? I didn't hear that.
Are your teeth in? Do you have your lower bridge in?
All right, what is your comment, Terry?
Well, yeah, you know, there's obviously no love in his family at all.
There's love in my family.
Every living relative he has.
No, why do you say that?
Well,
because I want to retire.
You're talking about me. Well, tomorrow, you dummy. You ought to be horsewhipped.
Why? Why?
Because you're negative. You hate your family.
I don't hate my... Just because I don't do what you think I should do, which is to run right out and make a will and be a good little boy. No. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to Daytona 500, and I'm going to run that thing right down the backstretch at about 200 miles an hour, and I'm going to slowly but surely lose it.
Well, good.
Okay?
Give me some of your money, you cheapskate.
Why would I give it to you? I'd rather give it to California than give it to you.
Yes,
that's how much
sure.
I like you.
Where's all your relatives? Call your wife up.
You want to know something? I'd rather give my money to my ex-wife, who I hate, than give it to you. That's
well,
how much chance
then.
You got to get my money. I'm not giving it to you.
You're
I'd rather give it
dummy.
To her.
You ought to be taken
you
out of the first
guys way. Like you, now, guys like you, you go the way everybody tells you to go your whole life. You never go your own way. You're always going the way they tell you to go. And you make out your will, and you got your living estate. You know what, Terry? You're going to die in a folding chair out on some piece of lawn that's dying. Some home, probably about five or six doors, all leading to the same kind of, you know, unit. And
well,
then they'll call you for dinner. That's where you're going. And your family's...
Good. I'll see you later.
Either that or Daytona 500. You know what? You're an idiot. Is he calling from Tucson? Wait a second. That's the guy.
Yeah, will you shut up? 877-876-PHIL. What do you mean, that's the guy?
That was Tucson, right?
The point that he made and the point that I'm making is the following thing. The money that you're going to be, when you die and you have money and you want it to go to the state of California, it could easily go to somebody who would use it for good, you know?
Who?
A family member, a loved one.
I understand that, but they're not getting it until I'm ready. When I'm ready, they're ready. And when they're ready, I'm ready.
But so you are at the Daytona 500. You lose control of the car. It flips up the back. It goes down, fireball, the whole damn thing, right?
Right.
And where is your money?
I guess at that point, unless I've made my will out, I guess at that point, it goes to the state of California. But I'll tell you this. If I'm ready to take that big run down the backstretch of Daytona, I think I've pretty much squeezed all the life that I want to squeeze out of this existence, so I'm pretty sure I would have my will made out by then. I don't know.
Is there a chance that before you made that run down the backstretch of Daytona, you would not have your will made out?
There's a slight chance, but I don't think it's a big one. I think by the time that someone said to me, okay, Vernon, we got the green light for you to get into it, you know, I don't know what car it'd be. Jeff Gordon is going to let me use his Tide Dodge Super whatever. And I head on down that backstretch, and now I feel I'm losing it. I can feel air, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah. And
so is it a suicide?
No.
All right, we'll be back with more. The more this guy talks, the more I think he doesn't really care. I don't even know if he's got any money. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Your will, your living trust. When should you make it out? Or should you just have all the fun you need before you do that and your relatives be damned? The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Oh, yeah. We'll be right back.
Famous.
No, I'm not doing that show.
877-876-7445. Mr. Dozier, you're not saying that you want to die.
No, I'm not saying that at all, Phil. I'm saying that if I were to go out, somebody said, hey, how do you want to go out? Well, ideally, I'd like to go out in a Daytona 500 race on the backstretch and have that car go airborne. And then I've got one here, and just bear with me, Phil, and I will. Here's one from a 1950s, I think.
They're moving faster now.
All right,
now
look at it.
Higher on the 31 degree.
Look at.
Speed of 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, 200 miles an hour. That's what I'm talking about. See that? See, look at right there.
Pace cars off the
track. I can't see what you're looking at.
Well, this is a race. They had the largest crash up to that point in NASCAR history, 68 cars. And this gentleman, Glenn Fireball Roberts, the gentleman I'm talking about, you want to know why they called him Fireball? Because that's what he became. And he was a great driver, but on this day, he was not just a great driver. He became, in all reality, a fireball. It was what he was. It's what he became. And it's almost as if you could say that he went from being a man to the sun. You understand what I'm saying, Phil?
No, I don't. And I think it's a ghoulish thing to even consider or even want. Our number is 877-876. Phil, here is Colleen in Detroit. Go ahead, Colleen. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Well, I don't understand is, like, does he want to go out in a flaming ball of glory or something and show off to his family, like, I live life, you know. If you have enough money to do that, why don't you take a rocket ship into the sun, and then we can all see that on the news, and, you know, and then his family can be in poverty because all the money will go to California. I mean, apparently he has some...
Well, ma'am, No, ma'am, no. What I'm saying is, there's no need. I think when you make out your will too early, you rob yourself of the joy of life. So what I'm saying to people who are my age, I'm saying, make sure you squeeze every single solitary nanosecond out of this life, and then do your living
well. You don't want to be Evel Knievel either. I mean, you don't. Why would you want to do that?
Of course I do. Why wouldn't I want to? Why wouldn't I want to enjoy my life to the most of my ability? Why wouldn't I want to do that?
But you're leaving your family impoverished.
That's the breaks. That's the breaks. That's the beauty of life. What I'm saying is, who says I'm going to die? I'm saying, yes, I would like to die, but I'm not going to try.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. You're talking about Fireball Roberts and all this jazz. What do you want to do?
I want to go down to 200 miles an hour on the backstretch of the Daytona 500. If I lose control of the car, I'm hoping I become airborne, of course. Wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't if I lose control of the car. No, I wouldn't. And plus, on top of that, I lose control of the car. Now I die, and I haven't done my living will.
No, you missed it, and this lady missed it, too. No, both of you missed it. I said, before I ever get into that car, I would hope that that would be the point where I realize I've lived enough, my living will is done.
You would hope, but you don't know.
No, I do not know. I do not know. But the lady asked me, do I want to become the sun? Yes.
You want to become a flaming ball of fire, but you don't care whether your kids are taken care of.
Oh, would you come on? They're adults. We're not talking about orphans. These are adults with their own children.
But you've got all of these assets, Vernon, that you're going to just turn over to the state of California because maybe I made out my will and maybe I didn't. Am I ready to die? Yes, I am. But, am I a fireball? No, I'm not. I mean, so much is left up to chance.
And that's life, my friend. That's life.
Well, instead, why don't you go to, like, a soup kitchen and be the best soup kitchen guy ever?
Wow. Well, now, hold on for a minute. Let me just... There's your round of applause. Are you kidding? I got a life to live. I got a lot of living to do.
I got a lot of living to do. It's all about you.
Of course it is.
Well, what about your family?
I hope your family understands.
You were about to say you hope my family starves.
All right, let's take another call. Thank you very much, Colleen.
Thank you.
All right, Colleen, thank you very much. Here is Carrie in Macon, Georgia. Go ahead, Carrie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I think he just feels guilty because he sees his behavior in his children from what he did himself to his own parents.
I did not. What are you talking about? My own parents.
If you see bloodsuckers in your children, is that how you acted on your father's deathbed? Did you wait for him to die before you get his money? My parents are over 65. They have a will. They're living their life to the best of their ability. They're traveling. They're having fun. And I hope they spend every penny they have.
Now, here's the thing. Here's an interesting thing. You just told me you know they have a will. You know why? Because you were picking through their personal effects.
You know why?
What a thing to say.
And that's what adults do when they have children. They make out a will.
How do you know? How do you know they made out a will? Were you going through
the
safety deposit box?
No, because they told me.
Well,
Me and my sister divide their estate 50-50 if they have any left. I hope they spend every penny on themselves and have fun.
You didn't go through the shoebox under your mother's bed.
All right, listen, good point, Kerry. Thank you. Vernon, good luck.
No, I'm going to be the son. The son and the father.
Phil Hendry.
Going through the shoebox under her mother's bed.